Sup to the Point listeners, it's your boy Chris. We have another exciting announcement, and that is the day you've all been waiting for. And that is Rhino X 2025 official announcement. This rolls out to the public for the wait list on October 16th. So next week, be on the lookout on all the social posts because Rhino X waitlist fills up so fast and you do not want to miss 2025 show. We got Goodrich coming back, Geiger, Ken Haynes, a newbie, Kevin Comerford coming back from Service Champions Northern California, Jonathan Bancroft coming in, and we're going to change it up. It is going to be another banger of an event. Every time I think I can't outdo myself, I do it again. Because this is the greatest show.
You've got to do something special in your company to hire employees and to keep employees. And part of it is understanding the positions they're going to be working for and what they need and what they want. And it's not always about money. It's about security. It's about trust. It's about respect. It's about recognition. It's about being part of something special. And you need to think about all of those in your business. We've been blessed and fortunate to be able to do that. Our success comes from the exceptional people that we have. I mean, exceptional. You put a roof on the way the manufacturer says to put the roof on. You meet the codes and everything required of the international and local state building codes. The reality is, have you provided a safe working environment where people can advance and people feel wanted?
This is To The Point. A Rhino Experience. Voted one of the top home services marketing and operations podcasts. Cutting through the bullshit and getting to the point.
Hey, what's up, To The Point listeners? It's your boy, Chris, the host of To The Point Home Services Podcast. There is no Chad Peterman today, and he's really missing out because the guy on the other end of the microphone has met Chad Peterman before, and he met him at this fantastic event, the most exclusive home services event, and that was at Rhino X. So I'm excited to have this guest on today for a couple of different reasons. One, he's just a great human being, and we've got to spend some good time together. And I swear, like every time I'm with this guy, we have the best conversations. Super sharp business guy, served on a board together, made in some investments together. It's you know, you guys who listen to the podcast who come to Rhino X, the reason people come to Rhino X is because they want to be in the room with the right people who've built some significant business to learn from. You know, rob and duplicate some things along the way that people have already figured out for you. Well, this is one of those guys as well. And if you were at Rhino X, hopefully you got to meet Steve Little, who is the president and partner, K-Post Partners. They do roofing, waterproofing, and Tesla solar power and the power walls, a big time Tesla contractor down in Dallas-Fort Worth, and founder and CEO of National Roofing Partners. And more importantly, my friend. So, hey, Steve, welcome to The Point Podcast. I'm excited to share all your brain, your knowledge with all of our listeners.
Oh, I'm so excited to be here. You know, the thrills that I've had in my life, and this is ranking right up there with them. So I'm excited to be here.
Oh, I'm sure this was at the top of your bucket list.
Actually, maybe my business bucket list, yeah. But, you know, when you've been married 49 years to the bride I have and have four great, great grandkids and two great kids, it's hard to beat that bucket list. So,
well, listen, it's always exciting to have someone on here. And because, you know, for our listeners, even though, you know, he's in the roofing, the waterproofing, the solar business, like this is going to be an industry agnostic podcast. There's a ton that you'll be able to learn from. I love being able to sit and talk business with Steve. So smart. I'm going to stroke your ego for just a second.
Is going to cost me some money here. I can see that's going to happen. So.
he's really intelligent because he chose Rhino as his marketing partner. I mean, let's just leave with that.
One of the smartest moves we made.
Yep. That was fantastic. Thank you. But we met before this. So we got into a couple of investments together on a board together, and we built a friendship. And it's always great when you can talk business at a different level, which you can't always do depending on where people are at with their businesses. But man, I've been on lots of board calls with this guy, and he's a sharp one. So I'm like grateful to call him my friend and somebody I can always reach out to. And I'm excited to share again some of just his knowledge and his tenure of having been at K-Post and built this big business. Now these guys, it was so cool because we got to build a new website for them, and they are they have official partnership with the Dallas Cowboys and the Texas Rangers. So Those are great partnerships that you guys have had, and you've been able to leverage those in helping, you know, build and scale the business along the way. But what I think I like the most, man, is I think that one of the best critical thinkers that I've been able to spend time with. And so I appreciate that about you. Like, you know, you really have, I mean, when did you even like start at K-Post? Like, how long ago that? Because I know right now you're pushing what, 79, 80?
Nice. Well, first of all, ditto to you too. It's been great to get to know you, and I've admired you from afar, and now it's a reality. We're friends, we're business partners. We both are successful because of each other, and I'm grateful for that. Every chance I get a chance to be with you. Been with K-Post Company since November of 2003. My partner, Keith Post, and our CFO, Jane Williams, all went out and started K-Post Company then. It's a typical old story. Get pissed off at where you're at, go across the street, build a business. My partner had a falling out with his. I was the vice president of business there. Three of us failed in trying to acquire the company. And so we went across the street and started a company. And being a sports guy, we had a plan. Had our game plan, and we were going to do 6, 8, and 10 million bucks the first 3 years, and not have any more than 100 employees, and go home at 5 o'clock every night, and we really blew that.
It didn't work out the way you planned.
You know, the problem is we hired really good people and got the hell out of their way, and supported them, and boy, they showed us we were thinking too small. Didn't think about becoming the contractor in our market. And more importantly, what a cool place to work and help people get the compensations they need to grow great families. And so we did.
One thing I really appreciate you is how much you care about, you know, the people, like genuinely care about the people. And, you know, and that's, to me, that's shown up because I've gotten to, you know, as I've gotten to know you and actually see you in action, it's fun.
It is.
And I want to share just a little bit with our listeners, just to give you some context to where these guys are at today. I'm going to see if I jack these numbers up or if I get them right. So, you know, K-Post will finish roughly around the, we'll call it 123 million mark. And by the way, $70 million of backlog. I feel like that's a whole other conversation.
It is a whole other conversation.
Backlog. Cause if I'm sitting on 70 million backlog, I feel like I'm only focused on backlog. I've got people focused only on clearing backlog. Okay. That's good. I'm glad to hear that. So of this 123 million, roughly, we're talking about 100 million in commercial roofing, 10 million as service, and I believe it. You said it was 8 million as waterproofing.
Correct, and okay. Within that 100 million.
Within the 100 million, right? And then the other 23 being the mixture of residential roofing and solar. And again, I mentioned Tesla.
But Chris, the coolest part of this, one location.
One single location.
So when you look at the you know, Roofing Contractor Magazine's top 100 or 150, I guess it's this year, and you start going down the path of those with all the PE acquisitions and things like that that have transpired, we keep dropping from 16th to 17th. I think we're now 22nd or something like that. But all of these people ahead of us have more than one location. Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas. We are blessed to be in North Texas. It is the greatest economy, the greatest state in the union. It is fantastic.
And I've been to the facility. It's great. So I've got to see the K-Post compound. It's actually kind of laid out. Yeah. It's actually kind of laid out like Chad Peterman's in the same way where we've got the different buildings and the different, like it's on a big campus. It's pretty cool facility. Cool.
Yeah, very fortunate.
But you guys have built a fantastic, you know, business, and I've gotten to work with Matthew, you know, quite a bit on the residential side of the business. And you know, part of your, you know, of our conversation, you know, in preparation for the podcast was, you know, well, how do we achieve this kind of growth? The people who heard me say commercial, I guarantee their brains all went to, oh, they sold, you know, it's high top line, no bottom line. Like there's no bottom line.
Totally wrong.
Yeah, okay. So you probably learned a few things on how to take advantage of that.
Right? Oh yeah.
And so you know, this business is not just a big business, it's a big business with a very healthy EBITDA. Very healthy business. Well, part of that has to come from your selling strategy, because you know what we talked about when we were exchanging messages on this is you're selling and not – bidding, you know, part of your growth strategy. So maybe let's just start with that. What do you mean when you're saying, you know, as part of your sales strategy, you're selling and not bidding?
So our world in the commercial side is very much a bid world. You've got your estimator that also plays salesperson, also plays project manager, also plays delivery of the invoice, goes to all the different meetings, does that stuff, whether it be new construction or remedial. And it's a single source person. All the subcontractors in the construction business or in the remedial business have built their businesses this way. We chose a different path. We believe that the sales mentality and the personality and the skill set is completely different than the estimating skill set, which is completely different than the project management and the operational side of the business. So we built pods. We have two people to a pod, and inside that pod is a project salesperson and is a services salesperson. And this is on the commercial side. And then we gave them classes of trade so they would own it. So let's say they have industrial. As a class of trade. Well, as a person's working for CBRE or JLL or one of those places, they move from place to place to place to place. And our people follow them place to place to place. And we maintain the business at the place we were originally at when that person moved. And so the concept behind that is to give somebody two resources that they can contact if anything having to do with our business. And then to the residential side, the important part of that is about 50% of our business, 40% of our business, excuse me, on the residential side is from our commercial clients. So our sales team on the commercial side, our pods, are going, if you like what we do to your commercial business, you should talk to our residential folks. And then we put our residential salesperson on top of that person and they go and close the deal.
Got it. So it's a little teamwork.
Little tag teaming, you know, you're doing that. You call plays out in the huddle, and sometimes you need to bring specialists in for different downs. You know, that's what we do.
Got it. Okay. So I want to talk about one other thing. So, and I want to actually just, you know, change gears a little bit. And something that we both, you know, we both implement in our businesses are emotional intelligence, right? It's a little bit of a shift here. And this is applicable to every single person listening to this podcast right now, by the way. But training on emotional intelligence, I think is incredibly important. And I think it's very, people don't think about it that much. It's not like people aren't thinking about training on emotional intelligence. Call it, there's soft skills training, there's technical training, but like, this is, and then listen, even admittedly, we didn't even implement it at Rhino until, you know, maybe a year ago or so. I guess we've done some different trainings on it, but we really doubled down on it. And this is after we did the color code. And once we did the color code, we were learning how we can use that because really we're all in the relationship business in some way, shape, or form, right? Like we're a marketing company who's trying to sell the business, but we're all in the relationship business. So you have to know how to talk to people or you have to know how those people receive what you're telling them. So this, the color code that we had did helped, you know, helped us. So from perspective, you know, like our CSR coaching team can listen to a customer like a K post and how their call listening or their customer service reps are answering phone calls and can be able to tell, are they a red talking to a yellow? And then go ahead and then go in and train to it. Say, hey, when you're talking to someone, here's how you recognize what they are. And then here's how they're going to receive the information.
Right.
That's what does that do? It helps with your booking rate.
So we're under the EOS platform from the book Traction, Gino sure. Wickman's book. And we follow the EOS to the, you know, right person, right seat is key. Yep. Do the people get it, want it, and have the capacity to do it? So all of that combined together means it has to happen on the front side. It happens during the recruiting side. So on the recruiting side, we disc all of our salary employee candidates. It just happens. And it typically happens after the first interview. And we use the DISC platform. So where you're doing color codes, we're doing the disc side. And the reality is that if they don't fit the disc for the position that we're looking for, because we've predetermined that after having 21 years experience, if they don't follow our company core values, and if they don't get it, want it, and have the capacity to do it, we don't hire them. At the same time, in reverse, every quarter, We're doing a 5-5-5, which is a review of all of our core values and the guidelines and the disciplines that people have with their particular jobs. And we may have the right person on our team, but they may be in the wrong position. And so we're not afraid to make a change. People want, when they get into KPOS, they want to stay at KPOS. We have a very low turnover rate in our salary side of our business. And in our, ironically, in our hourly side of our business, we have a very low turnover rate there. It's amazing after 21 years how many 10-year employees that we have in the field. It is friggin' amazing. And so all this has to do with managing the emotional intelligence of your employees. People can make the same money anywhere they go. They really can. Today's unemployment world of under 4% in unemployment, with the hardships we're all having in workforce development, you've got to do something special in your company to hire employees and to keep employees. And part of it is understanding the positions they're going to be working for and what they need and what they want. And it's not always about money. It's about security. It's about trust. It's about respect. It's about recognition. It's about being part of something special. And you need to think about all of those in your business. We've been blessed and fortunate to be able to do that. Our success comes from the exceptional people that we have. I mean, exceptional. You put a roof on the way the manufacturer says to put the roof on. You meet the codes and everything required of the international and local state building codes. The reality is, have you provided a safe working environment where people can advance and people feel wanted? And we believe that we've been able to do that at KPOS.
Yeah. And so you guys, then let me just ask another question around that. Then when you guys run into, I mean, you guys have quite a few employees. But when you run
just
into
under 500,
just under 500.
Yep.
So a couple, that's a whole other business.
Right. It is managing 500 employees.
I've had these conversations, you know, with a few of our buddies who, are in the hundreds of employees, and they're like, you know what? I wanted to run $100 million business until I remember there's now 800 people involved.
But those 800 people, oh my gracious, what blessings did they bring you when they see it all come together and they execute a plan? Our industry has moved to a subcontractor mindset because it's a less barrier of entry. They say it's because of workforce development issues, but it's a less barrier to entry to be able to do the business. On the residential side or the B2C side of our business, it's mainly a subcontractor business. But on the commercial side, on the B2B side of the business, 90% of what we do is self-performing work. Yes, we do have some subcontractors. We use them for unoccupied buildings. We use them for demolition. We use them for night work. But that business that we're doing, that $100 million of business that we're doing, Chris, is in the DFW marketplace. We hardly travel. We were working on the Houston Rockets arena in Houston, obviously, right now, and we're a Dallas-based company. But we were successful in getting the job, not because we were the low-cost provider, but because we put the roof on the American Airlines Center, and we put the roof on Globe Life Field, and put the roof on AT&T Stadium. And so we have the capacity and the track record and the safety to be able to do it someplace else, and people are willing to pay a few pennies more to have us go down to Houston. Now, we try to get our people home at night to sleep with their families because it's all about building a homestead, not only at work, but also at home because of work. So we don't travel and we do that kind of business. Hopefully we're doing something right.
Yeah, I think I love that because, and I have these same conversations quite a bit as well. You're charging for the quality of work that you do, which also, is the price that you need or the cost that you need to make sure you can do things like that, like make sure that your, employees are getting home. Like gives you the opportunity to go the extra mile and maintain like your guys' great culture.
And people find that at the end of the project, we didn't change order them. We did exactly what we said we're going to do. It's construction. So when things happen, we fix the things that happen because it's freaking construction. I mean, what are you going to do? But they got that experience. We're striving to give them that Amazon and that Disney experience. It doesn't always happen, but it's how you react when it doesn't happen that makes a difference. That, knock on wood, we've got almost 21 years in place coming up here in November, just next month. And we got that $70 million in backlog and $400 million in pipeline. I think we're going to be around next year.
I think the odds are probably pretty good. So I want to actually just keep going down this path a little bit on like your players. So, you know, building A player teams is something that, you know, that we decided, you know, we really need to focus on getting our hiring dialed in. Look, there's good interviewers like that can pull the wool over your eyes. We're all looking for A players. I think, at least I know that I'm looking for A players. Sometimes finding them is hard, but you do learn as you interview more on how to get to them, you know, and not that you're going to disc them or color code them right out of the gate. Like some contractors do those things, but like, we're not doing that, but you can ask, you know, different clarifying questions to start to figure out who is or isn't, or skill could be something. But when you're creating A player teams, which I know has been another critical piece of your guys' KPO success puzzle, How are you guys finding them, finding A players or creating them internally? Because I'm assuming you're also doing, like, you're continuously educating and doing these things to create these A players. So, but what do you guys do at KPO to either find or to build those players internally?
Great question. And I have a couple of points for you. Since we had about 300 employees, we've had a recruiter on staff. That recruiter is required to not only recruit people, but to retain people. It's a dual process of what they're doing. So they're constantly, whether it be the field employees or it be salaried employees, they're constantly doing follow-ups. They're constantly putting them in a buddy system. The idea is that you have a tremendous amount of cost when you hire somebody, but you also have a tremendous amount of cost when you lose somebody.
Right.
And so we're trying to selfishly minimize the cost factor on that, but more importantly, build teams. Second of all, we try as hard as we can to promote from within. We try desperately to promote within. And with that point, we try not to hire retreads. We try not to hire people that have been to 3, 4, 5 different companies in the marketplace with us. If anything, we will bring people in from out of town, which now requires us to have a few really good recruiters that are in place. The McCormick Partners group that is out there in the commercial side has been a good partner of ours in the market to help us with that side of the business, on the salary side of the business. And then you just build a culture. I'm telling you that we've built our culture around sports. And candidly, I play head coach for a lack of a title. Sure, I'm president. I'm a partner. But I play head coach, and we have offense, defense, and special teams on both sides of the B2B business on commercial and the B2C business on the consumer side. And we have such great position coaches. When you have I've got John Barker is our vice president, senior vice president of shared services. Matt Janes, who's our senior vice president in charge of the revenue side and the marketing side of our business. Jeff Hammond is our senior vice president in charge of the operations side of our business. And then you jump over to B2C to where you have Logan and Daniel and Alonzo and Jim. I mean, these groups of folks, how can we not be successful when you have these A players?
And are those, and are they also really good at kind of coaching, you know, coaching up would be, you know, those that are on their teams of also trying to get them to, you know, to play the ball the same way, or to kind of be that, you know, that, you know, A player coach.
It's a prerequisite in order to, for them to advance in the company. If you cannot coach and you're in a leadership position, we'll find another position for you because of the great skill set you have of what you're already doing for KPOS. But we are looking for coaches. We're not looking for managers. We're looking for leaders. We're not looking for managers. There's a huge difference between being a leader and being a manager, and even more of a difference of coaching.
Yeah, I think that actually maybe it might sound silly to some of these people listening or even to you, but I didn't split the two early on when I was in business. I looked at them as the same, definitely not the same. Until I learned, like, early on in business, you know, I wasn't a great manager of people. Not because I didn't care about people. It's just that I'm more wired to be in a leadership role who's out front leading visionary marketing sales, not operations. It's not that I didn't care. It's just that I wasn't, that skill set didn't help me make that person and hold them accountable to be the best that they can be, because, you know, I have ADHD. Like, I couldn't even get my own organization, you know, but my intent is I want the best for them. So I got out of the way.
So who ran your business?
I mean, Anna was the person who ran the business.
So exactly. Okay. So that, so we had that same setup at our place. So you were very blessed to have Anna. Not only, first of all, you kicked way outside your coverage for her. Let's just go ahead and put that on the table.
Way outside.
Just like I did with Pam. But the reality is that you knew your lane. It's not only know your lane in business, but also know your lane inside your business. I have a great partner with Keith Post and a great partner with Jane Williams. We knew what our lanes were, and we would always argue behind closed doors. And when we presented ourselves to our employees, we were always on the same page, backing each other up to do it. Now, it wasn't always perfect in the first few years. And as you, and we've been planning succession for 10 years in our organization. So we've been bringing leaders in and building them and growing them. We've brought in outside consultants, whether they be, personal coaches to mind performance coaches to industry coaches on specific type of work that we're wanting to do, expand our service work, expand our processes like with EOS and things like that. But that comes back to knowing your lane, Chris. You knew what you were good at. And so you got out of Anna's way, and I got out of Keith's way when it came to the roofing side of the business. But you two collaborated together to grow the business, and Keith and I and Jane collaborated to grow the business. You just got to have you got to check your ego at the door in every aspect of coaching. So as our leaders grow and they start taking over departments, we didn't even have departments the first 3 years. Everybody did everything. Jane and I had duct tape going across the room, and that was my side, and this was her side. To the point now that we have a 5-acre campuses and nice offices, and you got to know your lane. Understand the emotional intelligence of your employees and know your lane.
Yeah, that's really good. You said something I actually want to ask about it. I heard you say mind performance coach.
Yeah.
Explain what a mind performance coach is. God, I'm curious what I think it is versus what you're going to say it is.
So Chris Flickinger and Associates, Chris, that's going to cost you $20, but Chris Flickinger and Associates, he's out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and we were turned on to him from a peer group. And we'll talk about peer groups in a second. There were four of us in a peer group, and one of the guys in the peer group was bringing his son into the business. And his son had worked all through high school and college, et cetera. But he had graduated from college, and it was time now to bring him into the succession side of the business. And this guy that runs this company runs it from the top down. He is not a modern leader. He's a great leader, but he very much learned the traditional way that everything stops with me. My name's on the door. Do it because I said to do it, that kind of stuff. And his brother, who has another business, was using Chris Flickinger to help him because he had a lot more white-collar employees than he had blue-collar employees. And so they hired Chris to help bring his son into the business. And it turned into not only bringing his son into the business, but bringing a performance-based mindset to the leadership. And so we brought Chris in, and it was great. I don't know if I answered your question or told you what we did.
Yeah. Well, no, you still too high level. Actually, I want to dig one more layer deeper into it. So what were you trying to solve with the mind performance coach? You were saying, hey, because we wanted to get the, what was his name that came into the succession plan?
Chris. Oh, it was this particular contractor's son into the business from a leadership standpoint, not from a worker standpoint. So when you're dealing with your company, you want your leadership to think like owners. They want to be paid like owners, right? Mm-hmm. So you want them to think like owners.
Yeah.
Through the process. And it's a big change from being an employee to being a manager of people, to being a leader of a division or a company, to being an owner. And what Chris Flickinger helps you do is, first of all, identify the besides the disc and the colors and things like that, to identify the core of this human being, and then identify the core of the team, and then challenge the team to work collectively toward the goal of thinking like owners. And it totally transformed our business. We went from the mid 40s to the high 60 millions, and then COVID hit. And so we had to take a back seat, stabilize the business, stabilize the employee base, make a conscious decision to keep everybody employed instead of leveling out the cost. And actually, we stopped all extracurricular costs in the company for a 2-year period of time. And then we brought the Chris Flickinger Group back in 2022. And we've gone from dropping back into the 50s to we're going to do 123 million.
Yeah. Jeez. Okay.
In 3 years.
Yeah. I was going to say, because I don't even think I knew that about COVID. And where you're at that time frame, because we met just after. I think it was
supply chain to the roofing industry and many subcontractors. Supply chain just kicked our ass.
Well, I did across a lot of the trades. It wasn't just you. Certainly felt it in HVAC as well with equipment shortages.
Yeah, we have a lot of brothers in arms in HVAC and electrical and stuff, and we're very, all of us are very fortunate that we've rebounded. It has been good, but the bringing in I think if I was to give anybody advice is don't be afraid of what you don't know, because there are people out there that really know it. And I think our youth, love the GPT chat and they love to be able to pull stuff off the internet and their instantaneous gratification mindset. But that's only going to tell you so much. Getting into the core of what you're made of, what your mind's made of, what you are humanly, your own core values that you have, your core competencies. This is what the Chris Flickinger Group brought out. And to the point that when it was time to decide the leaders that were going to take Keith and mine's place, they voted on it themselves.
Wow.
We didn't pick them. They voted on them. Now, we blew their world up because at that point, Matt Janes was our vice president running our service residential division, and he had built that company up from zero to $9 million in 5 years. And so when they picked Jeff and John among the seven of them to be the leaders, we threw a turd in the punch bowl and said, yeah, well, you're going to run it like the three of you instead of the two of you, and Matt Janes is going to be the third person.
And he's great.
All three of them are doing just, I mean, you can tell by the numbers. You can tell by the retention of employees. You know, when you change leadership, and some people start to leak out and they start going other places. Hey, it's not what I thought it was and things like that. These folks have been able to keep not only the leadership that we had, but they've been able to grow the next set of leaders, which is part of that recruiting question that you were asking me about. Where do you find people?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and you have your recruiter who focuses on the recruiting and retention. So that certainly is another layer to your business that's probably helpful with that, I would imagine.
We went to the second tier colleges as well in the DFW marketplace. University of Texas at Arlington, University of North Texas, Texas A&M Commerce. These secondary schools, we call them the local campuses, have some great, great employees. And we try to pick up a couple each year. One of our people in our HR department got her SHRM certification on her first ballot, and she was in our apprenticeship program, in our intern program, all the way to people that are our director of operations came from the University of North Texas as an intern. And he's been with us 7 years.
Okay, that's cool. I mean, that's great. I mean, I know we do some similar things with the local colleges here in Arizona. So it's something that we've done too, pulling in some younger talent, but younger good talent too. So,
Chris, one thing on the B2C business, because a lot of your listeners are B2C companies, and that's not a business that we knew at all. Keith and I knew at all. You know, we got into the business because when they advertised in the stadium about K Post Company, the roofing and waterproofing company of the Dallas Cowboys, the phone started ringing, and people were saying, "Hey, would you do blue and silver shingles? Hey, would you put a star on my house? Hey, would you do this?" And so we took the idea to the Cowboys, and they said, "Hell no, we're not going to put shingles on a roof. Last thing we need is the hail to hit it. Now it'd be Jerry's problem with the that we put shingles that were blue and silver." But what we did see was that there was a consumer play here, and that's how we started the business. We have been so fortunate that I would say 70% of the people that are in our residential business are homegrown. We're never in the B2C business. Never. Yeah. Sales side, internal management side, as well as the support teams.
Wow. So, and you know, one thing I literally just now thought about as you were saying that, there's a two-part of this. One I for sure thought about, other one I didn't. And that was, I need to come. Certainly you guys got to have tickets to this game. Maybe I've not even been to AT&T. I need to go down there and check out a game.
What game are you talking about?
Football.
Oh yeah, maybe like the Cardinals are coming to town or something.
There you go.
Right? Is that?
I'm just saying, okay, is there something there? Yeah. Just maybe consider. Just maybe consider.
Let's chat. I might know a person.
I mean, Cardinals beat the Cowboys last year. So.
Yeah, and they give us a pretty good game each time. You know, we haven't been in the Super Bowl or even past the first round of the playoffs in 25 years.
Well, hey, you're 3-2 now, so you're above 500. So you guys are doing okay. Hey, real quick, I want to go back to one quick thing before I forget it. I had my finger pointing to this note I made, so I remember not to forget it. You had mentioned, you know, that technology, you know, the younger generation wanting, to be fast or, you know, thriving on instant gratification, things like that, which, by the way, like, I suffer with that sometimes too, in some instances where I just, you know, I want to get something done now. But one thing that's happening a lot, and Chad and I were having this conversation, you know, a few different times. I can't remember which episode we were on, but around technology and just the volume of technology that's being thrown at us, and the shiny objects that can derail you. And then people will, you know, buy one piece of technology and half-ass implement it, or you try it, you don't use it. Now you're still paying for it. You're still paying for the technology, or you already paid for it. And then you're trying the next thing, and it's like you got a mile wide and inch deep on things. But there's a lot of technology that's being thrown at us right now, and that's certainly not going to slow down, that I think. You talked about like ChatGPT and things like that, or just AI in general. Like, all these things have been thrown at us in a really short, you know, time frame. And the same thing has happened, you know, in the roofing industry, whether it be estimating softwares, or if it's like, you know, new CRMs, or if it's just, you know, this sales tool or this, that sales tool or whatever. There's so much stuff being thrown at us from technology. Like, what's your take on it? Let's talk about the residential side of the business real quick. Since that's going to be the majority of our listeners, or I guess, you know, commercial, but either one doesn't matter. But like, how are you guys handling technology, or what's your thought about all this new technology in the space gotten thrown at us? In home services, speed to lead is everything. Chirp stands out by transforming your communication strategy. With Chirp, accelerate your lead response time with instant SMS text messaging, email, and ringless voicemail automation. Chirp's cutting-edge technology ensures you're the first and the most persistent, helping you close more deals than ever. But that's not all. Say goodbye to missed opportunities with Chirp's incredible follow-up system. Keep your leads engaged and moving smoothly through your sales funnel without lifting a finger. And with Chirp deep integrations with top CRMs like ServiceTitan, Housecall Pro, and Jobber, you can launch laser-targeted campaigns to connect with the exact right leads at the exact right time. Automation creates efficiency. Efficiency unlocks scalability. With Chirp, you can automate speed to lead, estimate follow-ups, rehash, abandoned call follow-ups, canceled job follow-ups, review requests, outbounding to your list, annual reminders, membership expiration follow-ups, and so much more. So stop chasing leads. Capture them. Connect faster and close more deals with Chirp. Contact Chirp today and elevate your communication game.
Hey, Chad Peterman here. I've been all in on BlueOn for quite a while now, and it's not just me. Contractors all over are seeing similar results. Tony at Just-In-Time Heating says their support calls dropped immediately once they rolled it out. His techs get reliable answers from BlueOn's AI faster than what they get from the OEMs. And their parts guy, he's loving it too. It's made his job way easier. They're saving time, solving problems quicker, and feeling more confident in the field. BlueOn's just become part of the process. And yeah, Peterman Brothers is definitely seeing that impact too. Click the link in the description and book a quick demo. You'll get it.
Well, being a baby boomer, it just scares the living crap out of me.
Yeah.
Okay. I sit on the NRCA board and a few committees, and I'm involved with Roofing Alliance as well. And when we go and we see presentations, I see what I'm being told, and what I see happening is one day you're going to take your phone and you're going to go, "Hey Siri, I need a new roof. Who do I call?" And all of a sudden, three bids are going to come flying into your phone like a text message in the next 5 minutes. Now, by the way, I don't know if you've ever done that. And you say, hey, Siri, I need a new roof. And thank God she says, I don't understand or I can't help you with that. But I believe that's going to change. My friends at Eagleview are working with the friends at Roofer, and they're coming up with programs tied to the Google rating list. And I just know what's happening. I'm not keen enough to this industry or to the to be smart enough in the software side of it. But I know there's people working behind the scenes to make this happen. If Elon Musk can go and pick up the guys from Boeing and bring them back safely, then I know that somebody's sitting behind a computer right now figuring out how to get Siri to answer the phone on what the cost of the re-roof is. So having said that it scares me. It's also extremely exciting because I think that part of our success that we've had is that we have adopted technology in both residential and in the commercial side of our business. We're not afraid of it. We have bought every software you can possibly imagine on the commercial side. And when Matt James came to work for us, he turned us on to different things that are happening on the residential side. You and the Rhino team have turned us on to a bunch of things that has made us a better company. We're getting better leads. We have better quality services that are coming from our branding and our marketing. We can see it. We can taste it. We can feel it. It's affecting our not only our top line, but our bottom line. So where I'm scared to death, I'm excited about what's out there. And I can't tell you any particular one. Like I know Rilla is somebody that we use in our residential side of our business. And I just know one day that it's going to come into the commercial side. So, yeah, I mean, did I answer the question?
Yeah. So I actually think that it is a good answer because I think that's how a lot of people are feeling. It's also whenever you first start talking, what it makes me think about is just because you're scared of it, doesn't mean you shouldn't be doing it because you will get left behind if you don't adopt some of this stuff. And maybe not right now, Steve, but like, it's kind of like, you know, when people had to transfer from a phone book to a website, like it was scary to get a website. What the hell is that? You know, you have to have these things in place because you know, if you want to continue to push your brand out there, like here's a great example. Why I was so excited to work with you guys, having been primarily commercial, was that you had good brand equity enough that I could piggyback off of it and have quick success in the residential market because of the cowboys and things like that. So I knew because of the tenure of the business that I could leverage that and the technology that you weren't using to be able to gain traction quickly. And that's what happened. So I felt like I knew I had a slam dunk coming into it. I think
wait a second. That's not what you said in your proposal. That's not what your guy said about all the hard work they were going to have to do.
I didn't say
hear what you're saying.
You know, yeah. But point being is like, and this is where, you know, it's great for our friendship and to have, a partnership with you is that I do have that. Like I do pay attention to the technology side of the business because I'm constantly challenged with figuring that thing out on behalf of, the industry, we'll call it home services and improvements, all the above, can want to listen to this podcast and rely on me to have done my due diligence on these things to understand how they are working, how they're implemented in the success or not success or failure of these, of these softwares, these softwares that you can use. Rilla is a perfect example. You know, I have a great relationship with Sebastian and the founder of Rilla and he's a sponsor of this podcast. You can see it on here.
And not just because he's a sponsor, but it's a great product.
It's a fantastic product. And a lot of big players use them. Another guy that you would have, I don't know if you met him or not. He was at Rhino X. His name's Dave Geiger. He was an early adopter. He's another big brand consolidator. One of the legends in the home services trades, big player. He adopted Rilla too. So then when I show up and Matt, pulls up Rilla on his phone and I'm listening to, one of your sales guys' calls, I was like, what in the hell? Like, this is cool. So where that made my brain go to was like, hey, we have human beings in this company listening to every single phone call, like at Rhino. How can we start to utilize like a call analysis AI tool? Well, I went back to our sponsor and I said, guys, like we have an answering service. Like we should be doing the same thing, except let's try to figure out how to do it real time. Well, that comes January. Yeah. So now I can be able to hear as everybody's on the call, a CSR, it's immediately transcribing out the call, recognizing the coaching points, recognizing how they like in real time. Well, that's fantastic. So, it's going to have to be QA'd for a long time. So it's not like I can just get rid of, answering agents. I just need to now move into more of a QA role. I'm making sure we're continuously feeding the machine, the intelligence. but to make us better and faster, you know, not to replace, to make us better and faster for you. So I can make a decision in real time based on real time results and real time. Technology is doing that for us, Steve. Like, so that's where it becomes beautiful, is when you know how to implement it in a way that can, that one, you can trust the numbers are correct, and that you've got somebody who owned the implementation of it, and you're actually using the tool to its best ability for your business. That's what becomes really powerful. It's the adoption of the things you don't know that are scary. And it's like, well, man, how long is it going to take me to learn this one? And is that where your best, you know, is that where your best seat it needs to be on the bus? Maybe not. But you find the person whose best seat it is on that bus. And maybe sometimes that's a partner like me who's doing that for you.
So two things out of this. First of all, you have to want to do this. You have to have the mindset. You have to have the culture to want to do this. There's nothing wrong with a culture that says, I'm going to do so many dollars every year. I'm going to have so many employees. And this is where I'm at. I make a comfortable living. And when in the roofing side, when a storm comes through or something like that on the B2C side of the business, I'm going to have a fantastic year. And when it doesn't, I'm going to have a regular business. That's a fine business. As long as you understand that you're going to lose 20% of your business every year that you had nothing to do with, it's just going to happen to you. Then you also can do the other direction. You can be so focused on growth and taking over the world that you miss the blocking and tackling and building the foundation of your organization. And you miss that emotional intelligence of the employee of having the right person in the right seat. If you don't have a foundation to work from an operating system, whether it be a business operating system or it be an operating system for how you manage your employees or whatever your system is for the software and what you're trying to get out of it, you just have to decide what mindset you want to be and where you really want to take your company. I'm of the belief of the one of the best books ever written was Stephen Covey's Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. And I'm a big believer of beginning with the end in mind and seek to understand before being understood. If you follow those two practices, they've been just a guiding light for me in my entire career. And we're not going to talk about how long that's been. But in my entire career, following those two principal points of the seven habits have given me a great return on investment, a great quality life.
Yeah, I think that there's probably a lot. I guarantee you there's a lot of people listening right now who are just started the business because they wanted to start a business because they were unhappy somewhere else. And they are not even thinking about the end. They're just thinking about tomorrow, you know, and what I need to do tomorrow, or just, I need another, you know, lead. Or I need another sale. Like, they're at the basics of it right now. So it's good sage advice, you know, for to think like, what do you want with the business? Because I do believe you, if you figure out, and if, by the way, if it's just, you know, my goal is a revenue goal, that's okay. Wasn't for me. My goal was like, how can I continue to be the best, most reliable source for this industry? And if I just do it every day and I'm starting an HVAC, I should be the best of the best at it because I'm focused on it every single day. And I was focused on being great at my job. And the revenue was a byproduct of it. There came a time when I needed to set a revenue goal, but it wasn't for the sake of a top line revenue goal. It's for the sake of our giving goal. So we knew we needed to hit X revenue to hit a certain level of giving that Anna and I wanted to commit to. And we've done that. And we did it for years. Then you bring on a sponsor. Well, a sponsor certainly has a sponsor being a private equity partner, for those who don't know, certainly has a revenue goal in mind, but you still get to dictate how you chase that revenue down and not lose your integrity, not lose your reputation, which means everything to me, you know, and it's still fun in that way. But whatever you do, think about whatever your end is, you know, or what you hope you want it to be. And then to Steve's point, you can work backwards from that thing to try and figure out what your plan to achieve those things with some attainable goals along the way. Cause if you don't set attainable goals, you'll constantly be defeated. So, and by the way, it can change. It changes all the time. It changes as the business scales and as you scale as a human being and a professional.
Yeah. It's environmental conditions that you have no control over. And then as the business advances, there will be dynamic changes in handling that. We had 11 employees that we started the company with, three of us being Keychain and Steve and eight other folks. We had worked with five of those eight other folks before, in different phases of businesses, and the other three came from outside the our inner circle. Now there's a little less than 500. It's a little different on managing the first 100 to getting to 250 to getting to 500. It's different requirements. There's different government requirements in those scenarios, much less other things. And so, yeah, we build our goals based on weekly, monthly, quarterly, annual, 3-year, and 5-year goals. And we have that big, audacious goal out there that's a 10-year goal. Yeah, and every action that you do goes against that filter and your core value filter.
I was going to ask you about BHAG, and you just ruined it. That was literally my closing comment.
See, took it away from you. Now you're going to have to dance on your feet here. Come on, show me how else you can do this.
Well, listen, I don't know how to get around at this point. I do think that, the most of what I hear out of all this is like kind of like trying to like recap on all these things are, I'll try to funnel this thing back to you. What's like the main skill of that human being? And I think one word that I would use to describe it would be perseverance. I think another thing that you had said was vulnerable. Like if you don't know, somebody does know, go find the person, go find the training. This is stuff that we talk about. There's just a couple of key things in here, I think, that have let you three who started this business, continue to build this business. And it could be, yes, we have the same end goal in mind, but you have these characteristics that allow you to continue to plow towards those goals. And the EOS strategy certainly can help keep you accountable to those goals. And we implemented that a few years back too. I did the disc profile. I'm a high ID. Probably doesn't.
No
shock
wonder we like much. Each other, right?
Probably doesn't shock you too much.
Two brothers from another mother.
Exactly. So we like to have fun. We also can be a visionary. We also like to make sure we're driving this thing down the right path. And just find out, what your strength is, man. And you might surprise yourself just by doing one of these things. But if it's something as simple as like you feel like you're probably wearing multiple hats and doing different things, and you kind of have a goal in mind, but you don't know how to hold each other accountable. Like this traction book is a piece of cake. You can get EOS traction coaches to come and help you implement these things in your business. But that might be
I strongly recommend you have an implementer. Strongly recommend. If you try to do it yourself, you're going to miss out on it. At the end of the day, you have to decide what you want to invest in. I mean, really, at the end of the day, as a business owner, are you investing in getting help to run your business? Are you investing in your employees? What kind of return on investment are you looking for? Are you building a platform, a skeleton? Is it the blueprint to build your foundation of where you're trying to get to in your 3, 5, 10-year goal? You're just trying to survive. How vulnerable do you want to be? Do you really want one of your employees that you're paying you turn around and tell you that you're an asshole? Are you ready for that? Because we get so close to the forest, you can't see the trees. I remember hearing that from my grandfather, and it's true. You've got to be vulnerable. You've got to want to build a team. Because you can't do it yourself. If you want to do it yourself, let me tell you something. Instagram, YouTube, get on there. There are plenty of talking heads that are out there on any subject that you want. And somebody's going to pay for it at $5 a month to do it. And you get a 10,000 people out there. You don't need any of this other stuff. You just get on there and do your thing. Me, that's not what I wanted. I wanted to build a company, have a good partnership, build a place where people could earn the compensation they need to build the life that they wanted to have. And fortunately, we did it in roofing.
Yeah, and you did an exceptional job.
So far, so good, man.
Well, I just want to say, to kind of close this thing out, I feel like that was a good of it from my BHAG, just to put that out there. But I'm grateful, man. Like I said, I can't say it enough. And every time I'm with you, I tell you, I love spending time with Steve. We always have great conversation, great company, smart guy. I know if I need anything, I can call you and ask you and you'll show up, and vice versa for me. But listen, he's that kind of guy. So if you're listening to this podcast too, and you end up going on LinkedIn and finding him and asking him a question, Steve's going to respond to you, man. Might be slow. Because he's 79, pushing 80 years old. But
back up that freight train. I was just going to tell you how blessed I was to know you. Now I need to call Anna and have her put you in timeout.
I'm kidding. But he's just a gracious guy too, but just incredibly sharp. I mean, these guys built a fantastic business, a hard business, especially in that commercial industrial space. But I've had a lot of great success, but man, just a great heart. I'm so grateful to have a partner with you, that you use my business means a lot to me, and that we're friends number one. Like that means the most to me. So I appreciate you giving us the time to share with all the listeners, and man, I can't wait till I get to see you again.
Me too. And it takes a team to build it. My partner and I, Keith, and our CFO, Jane, we had such a great group of people to build from. And here we are 21 years later celebrating a great run. And we've built a company for sustainability, and now we're going through succession. So we'll see how it all works out.
Yeah, congratulations. That's going to be exciting. I'm excited to watch the whole thing. So, well, I'll just say, I'll finish with this. You know, to our listeners, you know, you'll have lots of ideas in here. Again, this is just from Steve's perspective and how Steve and his partners have built their business. But some of this stuff is sage advice that has worked, you know, decade after decade in different types of businesses, which is why I said in the beginning, this podcast is industry agnostic. It's just the tools of building business. It's, again, you're in a relationship game. Some of the stuff is just figuring out how do you show up? Like, and where can you maybe work on yourself? Or how do you, you know, speak with your, how do you talk to your team? Do you need to change that? Do a DISC profile, do a color code, whatever works for you. Maybe that's what you focus on. You talked about blocking and tackling. Maybe it's just the blocking and tackling, making sure you're focusing on the basics, not getting too far ahead of your skis, as a Steve shares with me in a comment. Some of it might
Don't hesitate to ask for help.
Yes.
Don't hesitate.
Be vulnerable enough to ask for help. You know, everybody in this podcast heard me say that a million times because I'm such a big believer in it. Cause I too was the guy who didn't want to ask for help until I realized I'm gonna start asking for help because I got my stuff done faster and I made less mistakes because of it. And it cost me far less money to just start asking people who knew and let go of my pride to get it done.
Bingo.
So I appreciate you giving us your time, Steve. And to all of our listeners, again, you don't have to do everything, but you got to do something. No 0 days.